I hate this weather.
Oh, what is that?
Because it's like April and it feels like winter. Like it's cold and it's rainy right now at the time of this recording. And it's April. I'm wearing a hoodie. I'm not supposed to be wearing a hoodie in April. I'm not in Texas.
I know, but you gotta remember, Sergio, this time of year in Texas, just like in the fall, the temperature can fluctuate over 30 degrees within a 24-hour period.
I know.
So you have to keep your warm clothes in your closet, but you can also wear your cool clothes. And you can't put the warm clothes away yet because you have a cold front come through, like today, where it rained a lot. And then you got to put on your hoodie and your socks because it's cold.
I know, but like my allergies are acting up and my bad knee is hurting me. And it's like all these old man ailments that I thought I was, you know, the old man ailments hurt this time of year. They hurt in the winter because you're an old man and it's winter. But then like this time of year worse because it's like it's hot and it's cold and it's like a Katy Perry song. It's hot and cold. And like your body never knows how to conform to it. As you get older, it just sucks more and more.
I can't relate to how it feels to be an old man. Sorry.
Okay. Well, it sucks. I ain't gonna lie. So now that we've gotten through that, let's welcome everybody. What's up, everybody? Law and Disorder.
Hey, y'all.
We are episode 118. Before we kick it off, let's thank the sponsors. Thank you to Young Ideas Dish for all of your Dish, Google product cellular needs, and Wavespace Audio for the music.
Thanks, guys.
And we're here. And we are talking conspiracies.
Yes. We used to do this a long time ago, and I love it. So I wanted to bring back a segment that I'm going to call Conspiracy Corner with Caitlin. Because, you know, I'm big into, like, the true crime. I'm big into the paranormal. I'm big into some conspiracy theories. A few, I think, are totally fake, but I won't get into that. But because I like them so much, I did want to bring it in as a segment into our show. So today we are going to do a conspiracy corner, parentheses, with Caitlin. And we're going to do some conspiracy theories I found on something we all love, and that's our food.
Ooh, do tell. Mm-hmm.
And hopefully I don't ruin some food for anybody. So
I did that.
I know I did that in a previous episode with the whole Lunchables. So we'll see. I'll try not to ruin anything for you guys. But I went online to find some conspiracy theories about food. And like most people, I found some great ones on Reddit. So I'm going to go through the ones that I pulled on there and I'm going to see if you guys agree. If you agree, Sergio, and you can tell me why you do or you don't.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, so we're going to talk about candy companies. So there's a conspiracy out there that candy companies are trying to get us to use more peanut butter and more white chocolate in candy overall, because these companies know that regular, like, cacao, the industry that, you know, we get cacao to make cocoa and chocolate from, mm-hmm. is going to be doomed in the future. Like, it's going to go away.
Oh, like we're going to run out of the resource?
Yes. Or there's going to be a contract issue because I'm pretty sure all of the cacao that we use in America is imported. I don't even think it grows in North America, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken. So we have to import it from different countries. So if we have war, if we have, yeah, supply and demand, like, what are we going to do? What are you going to do without your Hershey's Kisses? Like,
so you think,
nobody knows.
So they're incorporating more peanut butter, which peanut butter is produced in America, and white chocolate, which is not chocolate at all, correct?
Correct. So, I mean, if you think about it, Reese's has a huge line of product. Like, Reese's is everywhere. Peanut butter in general is being added to all kinds of candy everywhere. Like, it is replacing all kinds of stuff. And white chocolate is also being very highly marketed, especially this time of year in the spring, you know, Easter season. It's like a spring summer type because it's lighter. I don't know. But more marketing is going towards white chocolate, which to your point isn't chocolate at all. So that's kind of a conspiracy theory, is like, well, we know we can't rely on regular chocolate forever, so we're just going to get people to really like peanut butter and really like white chocolate instead. So we'll be good.
So when I was growing up in the 80s, those two things were kind of, they were not the norm. Chocolate or peanut butter wise, there were Reese's peanut butter cups and there were Reese's pieces. And that was pretty much it from a peanut butter standpoint. Like in the 80s, there wasn't a lot of other stuff. But now Reese's has like Take Five and Nutrageous and like all kinds of different, like more additional candy bars that they didn't have back then. And the only thing I remember that was white chocolate was, I think Hershey's, I think they made a Hershey bar that was like a white chocolate. And that was it. There wasn't like a lot of white chocolate. There wasn't a lot of peanut butter. It was all chocolate. It was all Hershey's and Mars bars and all that stuff. And then now fast forward 40 something years and you're right. It's more diverse and there's not as much chocolate there. Everybody has some kind of white chocolate version or some kind of peanut butter version or some kind of caramel version. Like, you know, because now you have a filler to go along with the chocolate, or, you know what I'm saying? It's not just chocolate, it's peanut butter and chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Or caramel and chocolate. So yeah, I can kind of see that. I guess I never really thought about it, but like I said, going backwards in time, looking at my childhood, it's like, well, okay, yeah, that was all kind of, it wasn't something you got every day. It was something that you had to like seek out. You couldn't go to the convenience store necessarily and find a white chocolate bar. That was something that you found like at a specialty store, or you found at a bigger grocery store or something, but you didn't find it at like the convenience store. You know, you couldn't just stroll into a 7-Eleven necessarily and they had that. So that's kind of interesting.
What really sucks for me personally is that I don't really like peanut butter all that much. I hate white chocolate with a passion. So if something happens to regular old cacao in the future, I'm just not ever going to eat anything that used to be chocolate. I'm not a big peanut butter person. I'll eat peanut butter and jelly, and that's about it. I hate chocolate and peanut butter together. I hate Reese's. Oh, I hate peanut butter cookies. No, like, no. I hate it.
You're not my friend anymore.
I don't eat peanuts. It's okay. I'm not friends with my husband then either. I just don't like it. It's just not my thing. Again, so I can eat peanut butter and jelly. I get the appeal. It's fine. And I also hate white chocolate. It doesn't taste like chocolate because it's not chocolate. I like dark chocolate. Call me a psychopath, but I want like 80% cacao. That's what I want. I love the bitterness. It is my favorite thing ever with like a nice glass of wine. Ugh, it's delicious. And if that goes away one day, I'm doomed.
My wife is like that. And it all, to me, it tastes like dirt. It's dirt. And she's like, what you're eating is not real chocolate. I'm like, what you're eating is not real chocolate. It tastes like dirt.
It's more, that's the point, that it's more real chocolate because it has so much less sugar in it.
I know, but it doesn't taste good is what I'm trying to say. It tastes like dirt.
Because you're eating sweetened dirt is like what you're saying.
It's like chocolate covered in dirt. It's not good. It tastes like that chocolate that's in a, like when you get like a protein shake or a protein bar and it's supposedly chocolate. It tastes all chalky and stuff. That's kind of how it tastes. It tastes all bleh. Like, I don't like dark chocolate at all. I try to avoid it.
No.
Give my milk chocolate.
That's how we differ, you and I.
I know.
Okay, here's another conspiracy theory, which I don't even know if this is a conspiracy theory or if this is true. I didn't research into it much, but I'm going to explain it. So, you know how we're told our whole life that eating carrots can improve your eye vision?
Yeah.
Well, it turns out that's just like the conspiracy theory is that like, that's a rumor. Like, that's not true. And the conspiracy theory is that rumor was started by the British back in World War II to explain why their fighter pilots had, like, they were like just so good as a fighter pilot. Like, they could fly their planes well and very combative. And they're like, yeah, our pilots just have really good vision because they eat carrots. So that's why, like, they're just so, you know, skilled at flying all these planes. But in reality, apparently, the British had, like, this new radar system that they wanted to keep a secret from Germany. So instead of saying, oh, we have a cool new tech, it's a radar system so we can detect planes from far away. No, we ate, our pilots just eat carrots and they can see really well.
You know, I ate a lot of carrots growing up when I was a little kid. I had a pretty bad overbite and people made fun of me because like, oh, you got to overbite and eat carrots. You're like a rabbit. You're like Bugs Bunny. I was blind as a freaking bat and I've been blind my whole life. So that carrot thing, I'm calling BS on. Them carrots didn't help me for nothing. Nothing at all.
Well, like, I was told that, and I was like, I like carrots, and I liked carrots as a kid, and I ate them. I probably didn't eat, you know, more than the average person, but, I mean, I'm somewhat blind. I'm nearsighted. I have to wear my contacts to be able to drive and pretty much do anything. But I also heard that if you eat too many carrots, like, in a serving, your skin turns orange because of all the beta carotene, and I thought that wasn't real. But I guess that is real.
Is it?
But you'd have to eat a lot of carrots for that to happen. I saw that on like a kid's educational cartoon show in elementary school. And apparently it's a thing.
So that's what happened to the Oompa Loompas, is they ate carrots?
I guess that's the conspiracy part of it. Yes, all the Oompa Loompas ate too many carrots, even though they make chocolate.
Yeah. They worked in a chocolate shop and they ate too many carrots. They didn't practice what they preached.
Here's a conspiracy theory. It's pretty short, but kind of, it makes you think. So, you know, when you buy food at the store and there's an expiration date on it, with the exception of like, you know, dairy, things that have to stay cold, there's a big conspiracy theory that nothing else actually expires. They just put the expiration date on there to get you to buy it sooner.
You know, I'm one of those people that I don't trust it. If it says expired, I throw it away. I don't mess with that. I don't want to, you know, like bread says it's expired. It's expired. It's going in the trash. Like milk, that day it's going in the trash. You know, I don't know. Like canned goods are kind of weird because I could see them having a longer shelf life than what's advertised because there's so many preservatives in there. But at the same time, I don't want to be the one to find out the hard way that it's not good either, you know?
I'm a little different when it comes to expiration dates. So if it's dairy or anything refrigerated and it's the day it expires or even the day after, I'll eat it or I'll still consume it.
Oh, no, not me.
You best believe I'm examining it. I am smelling it. I'm looking for any sign of mold. I am looking for any sense of like rotten, sour smell, odor, anything. But like if I have like a good amount of milk left and I really want some mac and cheese, or God forbid I want a bowl of cereal, and my milk, it's like the day after it expires, if it smells fine, I still go for it.
I don't.
The second it smells bad, I agree. Toss it out. Anything else, I'll still eat, like, bread, I'll still eat it after the expiration date as long as it's not moldy or it's not stale. Because, you know, bread gets stale pretty easy. But I'll still eat bread. Anything in a box, like crackers, cereal, any dry goods, again, if it doesn't smell bad or I don't see anything weird on it, I'll still eat it. Canned goods, absolutely, I'll eat. There's a lot of stuff. Syrup.
Like,
man,
chips.
There's like a lot.
I've done chips. You know, and chips are the same thing. There's preservatives in there. And you can probably, I think I've had chips that are like a month expired. And I didn't know they were a month expired at the time. I'm like, oh, they've been expired a month. They're not bad. They taste the same. But I don't know. It just, it's like that slippery slope. But on the canned goods, I would think they have a longer shelf life. I mean, most of them have like a 2 or 3 year shelf life on the label, but I don't know. Like, I'm just like, But then you watch those movies, like you watch like I Am Legend, and that dude was by himself for like a decade, and he's still going into people's houses, taking like their Spam and their, you know? So it's like, I guess, is it good? Was it still good? I mean, I guess if you're that hungry, you don't care and you're going to get it anyways. But it's hard to say, you know? I mean, preppers keep canned goods, right? I mean, isn't that what preppers do? They stockpile and they say keep canned goods because they preserve the longest.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if World War III breaks out, you're only going to have canned goods for so long because the factories are going to close down. So, I mean, like, I guess you just keep eating them. What was it in, what was that movie, Zombieland? In Zombieland, poor Woody Harrelson's looking for that Twinkie. Remember? He was eating, like, 5-6-year-old Twinkies.
Yeah, don't Twinkies. Twinkies are supposedly never expire, right? Like, they could last forever.
I guess. So, I mean, you know, I can kind of understand the conspiracy on it where the manufacturers want people to just discard it and buy more. But I don't know, man. Like, I don't want to be the guinea pig is what it comes down to.
Yeah, and I mean, the reason I'll eat something after the expiration date is because I've done it before. I've eaten bread that's been expired. I've eaten crackers and chips that have been expired. I've had milk that is expired. Have I had milk that was 3 days, 4 days, 5 days expired? No. But I mean,
that's like the worst nightmare.
I did it once. I survived, hence why I do it to this day. But, you know, one day that could come to bite me in the bottom. So, you know, knock on wood, I haven't gotten sick yet. We'll see.
It's literally going to bite you in the bottom because it's going to make your stomach hurt.
Gee, thanks. Now I'm going to be thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's move on to another one. This one is actually about the organization PETA. I think that's the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
Yes.
So there's a conspiracy theory that PETA is actually funded by, like, the meat industry.
Really?
Yeah. So, yeah, because think about it. Not a lot of people take PETA seriously as, like, an activist organization overall. They do some funny stuff. Like, they're known for, like, their antics, right? And, like, the weird things they do to protest. Mm-hmm. And the things that they do don't really further their cause. So, like, they'll go, you know, out and protest somewhere, and they'll just, like, wear funny T-shirts and chant and hand out flyers. And that's – they don't put a lot of effort behind their protest. So there's not a lot of results that come out of it. So the theory is that the meat industry is actually funding PETA, because when you think about it, PETA is like their scapegoat. You know, anytime like the meat industry receives any type of criticism,
mm-hmm.
they can just lump that criticism with whatever PETA is up to and dismiss it completely.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like, oh, you know, if PETA's not going to take us seriously, then they don't really care about, you know, how we produce our meat,
right,
what we're doing. So if they don't care, y'all shouldn't care, and vice versa. So I was like, that kind of makes sense. I don't think it's true, but if it was true, I'd be like, okay, I get it.
I kind of get it. Yeah. That would be like the tobacco groups, like the people that are against smoking being owned by the tobacco companies.
Let's get into a few more.
Okay.
This next one's about KFC.
The chicken?
Yes. So there is actually an old KFC conspiracy, and that they had to change their name to KFC, which, you know, they used to be called the Full Kentucky Fried Chicken, right? Uh-huh. And technically, that's what KFC still stands for. It's Kentucky Fried Chicken, but we just call it KFC. So they removed the word chicken because the government wouldn't classify the chicken they were serving as chicken. So this person writing this conspiracy theory and then the Reddit post says that this one that they heard in the early 90s, so about 30 years ago, was that they had genetically altered the chickens to have no beaks and no feet. It was just like extra like meat on those areas. Uh-huh. And they were fed all their meals through like tubes, like feeding machines. So the government wouldn't classify that as an actual chicken because it didn't have feet. It didn't have, like, you know, the webbing. It didn't have a beak. It was like a chicken mutant, to kind of, like, so to speak. Like
engineered chicken.
Yeah, it was like engineered chicken. So that's why, like, there's a conspiracy theory that the government's like, you cannot call yourselves Kentucky Fried Chicken because you're not serving regular non-mutated chicken to your consumers. So you can either change your name or we're going to, you know, disclose to your consumers what you're feeding them.
Well, and I guess that's where other people can kind of get away with that, because, you know, obviously now everything is, you know, hormones and engineered and all that. Chick-fil-A is not called Chicken Filet. It's called Chick-fil-A. Supposedly all their stuff was very natural, and then now I guess they're starting to stray away from that. But like Golden Chick, I think Church's Chicken is called Church's Chicken. Popeyes is technically not called Popeyes Chicken. I think it's just called Popeyes. But it's like, they don't really have the name chicken in it. They serve chicken, but they don't have the name chicken. So I wonder if there's a thing to go with that. Like, I wonder if that correlates. Because they don't really
have... That's a good point.
They don't really have the word chicken in it. Now, going back to KFC. We eat KFC like once a quarter. You know, it's okay. But man, if you ever buy like a bucket of chicken, you know, you get the breast and the thigh and all that stuff. Dude, some of these pieces are enormous. They are some big old pieces of chicken. And you're like, where did this chicken come from? What lab did this chicken come from? It is enormous. It's like a turkey. So, yes, I can kind of see where the government might say, hey, your chicken is like chicken flavored meat, but it's not chicken. But again, you could say the same for a lot of stuff out there now.
Yeah, there's a lot of protests and legislation to kind of regulate that whole poultry industry, because if you knew where a lot of your chicken comes from, especially at the fast food you get, you'd be like really sad. They put these chickens in like these huge, you know, warehouse type buildings where they don't go out and run around. They can't graze. They can't, you know, lay eggs normally. And they're fed, you know, this mush of just like steroids and just horrible living conditions. But the whole point is to like bulk the chicken up to make the chicken as big as possible, mm-hmm, or as fat as possible, so that, yeah, again, you have bigger pieces to eat.
Now,
so there's a whole thing behind it.
It's also something you need to consider too, is that the growth cycle of these animals, of chickens, of cows, all that stuff that are, you know, that have hormones and all that put in them, their growth cycle is not a normal growth cycle. You know, they speed up the process because obviously this is a business and we can't spend, you know, if it takes a normal cow a year to be mature, we can't spend a year waiting on this cow to butcher it. You know, if they can shave off a couple of months, they're going to do it, you know, because hey, we need to get this thing out to the slaughter so we can make some money off of it. So that's something too, is that the growth cycle of these things is not the same as like a normal, you know, I guess a quote unquote normal chicken, normal cow.
You know, this kind of circles into another conspiracy theory I wasn't going to necessarily bring up, but I think it falls into it pretty nice, is that we all know at McDonald's when you get chicken nuggets, you're kind of getting a mixture of chicken in that nugget, right? It's not like a piece of chicken breast or a piece of chicken leg that
you're eating, right? 100%.
Well, there's a conspiracy theory that the chicken nuggets are made up of hen prostates.
What?
Like mostly hen prostates with a little bit of other stuff mixed in there.
Okay.
Yeah. That's weird that it's that part specifically, but I mean, if you think about it, they're using the breasts, they're using the thighs, they're using the legs, they're using the wings. I don't think they can necessarily use the head. I'm sure they do somehow, but like, what's another meaty part of the chicken?
The head, the chicken prostate.
The chicken prostate.
Oh, they're just buying that from KFC. They're buying the chicken prostate they didn't use.
And it's probably, I mean, if you think about it, I bet that part of the chicken is so cheap because they can't sell it. You can't go to the, you know, you can't go to Chick-fil-A and get the fried chicken prostate, you know, combo meal with the waffle fries.
But you can get the McProstate.
So I bet, like, if I was, I'm running a business like McDonald's and I got to make all these chicken nuggets, I want the cheapest meat possible to make a profit off these nuggets. And if that means hen prostates, then that's what I'm buying. Because if my consumer can't tell the difference in taste, why bother?
I mean, you know, that's my go-to when I go to McDonald's is the chicken nugget. So, I mean, if it's a hen prostate, I'm still going to eat it. I'm not going to lie.
I'm not saying it's necessarily bad for you or that it's not edible. It's just weird to think about, you know?
It's fine. I'd like to not think about that. I'll just eat it. Just give me some sweet and sour sauce and we're good.
Okay, let's move on to a different one. This one is about coffee. So there's a conspiracy theory about Tim Hortons coffee. Apparently it's really, really good. I've never had it. I don't think it's really, it's not prone to being like our area, our location.
Canada. They're Canadian.
Yeah, so we're in Texas, so they gotta make some more stores down here for us, but apparently, their coffee is very addictive, and not just because it's so delicious, but the conspiracy theory is that they lace their coffee with nicotine, and that's why it's so good.
Huh.
Yeah.
I'll be.
And I wish I could speak to it, but I've seen a Tim Hortons, but I've never drank it. But everyone I talk to that has been to Tim Hortons says it's the best. Like, it's so good. Don't get Starbucks. Don't get Dunkin'. Get a Tim Hortons.
Now,
I don't know.
Here's what I want to point out is that coffee is a stimulant. Nicotine is a stimulant. So, yeah, if you lace your coffee with another stimulant, yeah, it's going to give you a little extra kick. That's why you see people, like, drinking coffee and chain smoking, because that's what's going to keep you up. That's what's going to get you going. So I can kind of see that. I mean, I don't know if that's true or not, but I could definitely see that. So that's interesting. And Now let's also point out a fact that it's from Canada. They're from Canada, if I'm not mistaken. Right?
I can look it up. I'm not sure. I've never been there.
Let's look it up real quick. But I think Tim Hortons is a Canadian-based company. Now, if I don't know anything about food regulations, but if their food regulation allows that, then you're dang right that could happen. That could very possibly happen. Different country. You know?
Let's see here.
But I'm almost positive they're a Canadian company.
Okay, yeah. According to their website, each bag or can of Tim Horton coffee is carefully blended and roasted in Canada.
But that's what I'm saying. If their Food and Drug Administration has different regulations than America... Because it's not a global thing. The FDA is an American thing. So if their Food and Drug Administration's like, no, it's okay to have that. There's nothing wrong with that. Then, yeah, they could do that. In theory, they could do it. It's perfectly legal. And then I'm sure there's a loophole to where you can bring it over from Canada to America if they have a shop in America. You know?
Oh, yeah, because it has to go through customs and all that.
Right, but if there's, I'm sure if there's some kind of loophole, it's like, well, it came from Canada, but our home company is based in Canada, and this is just an extension of that, so therefore, we can still serve this same product here in America. You know? That's kind of going way down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not like nicotine is completely illegal in the U.S. because obviously it's not. I believe, like, I think the only, you know, roadblock to getting nicotine is if you're a minor. You obviously can't buy cigarettes. You can't buy nicotine patches or anything like that. Now, I do know they can get vapes, and the stuff that you put in vapes has nicotine, unfortunately. So it's not like it's this big illegal thing. That wouldn't surprise me if it's that.
Well, here's the other thing to consider. You can use alcohol, you know, certain types of liqueur and all that for baking goods, and it's not illegal for a kid to consume it. So, you know, because it's used for baking purposes and quote unquote, it all gets, you know, cooked out of it. Is that the same concept for the nicotine? It's not illegal because, quote unquote, it gets cooked out of it, you know?
I don't know the chemistry behind that.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, if a kid can have a piece of, like, rum cake or whatever, and it's not frowned upon because, like, oh, it's just cake, then what's the difference between him and him having a laced cup of coffee, you know, with nicotine in it? It's like, oh, it's just flavor, you know, it's just baked into it. It's just made in, it's just ground into the coffee. It's just roasted into it.
Maybe it's also a thing where, like, you look at how much nicotine is in, like, a normal cigarette, right? And minors can't buy cigarettes. So maybe it's like, okay, as long as it's the nicotine level is less than what a kid could get in a cigarette, it's fine.
Right.
You know?
I mean, they allow so many things, you know, like we were talking about lead before. You can put, there's no regulation on how much lead you can put in the food. So what if they're like, well, there's no regulation on how much nicotine you can put in the food if you're baking or if you're grounding coffee or whatever. There's so many gray areas. There's so many ways to get around things, you know. We should dig down that rabbit hole further. I think
we can. There's one more conspiracy theory I wanted to bring up, and this is like the biggest one out of all of them, and I think this is the one where we could go down rabbit holes forever. You've probably heard this before, but there's a big conspiracy out there that, you know, all the major food manufacturers and food developers are putting, you know, bad things in our food on purpose, like, you know, chemicals, lead, extra sodium, extra sugar, nicotine, mm-hmm. caffeine, cocaine, whatever. They're putting all of this in our food because these big food manufacturers also own the pharmaceutical industry.
Ooh.
They own all the big, like, pharmaceutical companies. So they're like, okay, we'll manufacture this poison food. The consumers will eat it. You know, they'll buy our product, eat it, get sick, and then they'll have to go over to our pharmaceutical companies on that side of the industry and buy drugs, you know, drugs mm-hmm. for, like, acid reflux, drugs for gas, anything like that.
Diabetes.
Diabetes. Stuff to lower your blood pressure, stuff to lower your cholesterol, all because of the food you're eating that they're mass producing. So what do you think about that? Do you think that could be true?
So, okay, let's use the popular drugs right now is Ozempic or semaglutide, stuff similar to Ozempic. You know, it allows you to lose weight. Some people can continue to kind of eat whatever they want and it doesn't bother them. And for other people, they really can't eat anything because it bothers them differently. But it's like, yeah, let's say we created, you know, all the food companies created, they own the pharmaceutical companies. It's like, hey, we have this drug that allows you to lose weight and you can eat whatever you want. So come on back here and eat some more McDonald's. Come on back here and eat some more KFC. Because you're going to get to keep the weight off with this miracle drug of ours. I can kind of see that now. Because it's like you can have whatever you want. All you got to do is take this drug. And guess what? Most people are going to say, if I can eat whatever I want and not gain any weight, and all I got to do is take this little pill or this little shot, I'll do it. Sorry, a lot of people are going to do that. I wholeheartedly believe that. So yeah, I can kind of see that. I can see where people would do that. Or the, you know.
This reminds me of another conspiracy theory that kind of ties into this. Is that, you know, the dandelions that grow in your yard or like maybe around your neighborhood, the weeds with the yellow flowers.
Mm-hmm.
So we're marketed or we're told that those are weeds. They're bad for your yard. You got to pull them. You got to kill them. It's a weed. But those dandelions, like if you were to consume those, like eat the flower and eat the root, those things are so good for you. And they have something in them. I don't remember the exact chemical term for it. But there are nutrients in those dandelions that are very, very good for your heart. And can keep your heart very healthy and you not needing any like other medicines or medications to keep your heart healthy as you get into older age. So there's the company that sells like weed killer, like one of the major weed killing you know, product companies that sells poison for you to spray in your yard. Mm-hmm. They also own in the pharmaceutical industry the major, like, all the major heart drugs that you have to take to keep your heart healthy. So they're like, oh, well, we want people to buy our drugs in order to, you know, keep their heart healthy. So we're going to come up with this poison weed company, make this weed poison and market it to them, saying that their dandelions are just weeds and it's bad for their yard and they're ugly and they need to kill their weeds. Because if they knew that they could just eat those dandelions to help their heart, then that's what they would do and they wouldn't buy our drugs.
That's actually really crazy. I didn't think about that.
And I believe that one because there's a lot of science to back up, you know, the power of a dandelion and all its nutritional properties for you. So that one I really believe. But circling back to the whole pharmaceutical and food, I mean, I get it too. Because if you think about it, we've learned from what we've talked about today and what we've talked about in our previous news episode about lead being in Lunchables and high sodium levels, that there are not a lot of regulations on how much of this stuff can be in our food.
Zero. It's zero.
To your point, there are regulations on, like, how it should be made, how much of, like, certain things can be in it during the manufacturing stage. But as for things like sodium, caffeine levels, sugar levels, don't even get me started. The amount of trans fat or saturated fat per serving in these things is just, there's no federal law saying, nope, that's way too much sodium for a person, you know, in a serving.
There's no federal law. The only law that's out there is that you have to disclose it. You have to disclose how much, you know, sodium it has in it, the percentage, how many grams of sugar, all that stuff. You even have to put in the ingredients. But for, again, you don't have to put if it has lead in it, if I'm not mistaken.
Nope.
You don't have to specify that it has lead. But yeah, no, you can. That's why they have these stupid FDA, these little labels, these nutritional labels, so that you know exactly what you're putting into your body so that you can make that choice if you want to eat it or not. But that's kind of where the responsibility ends, you know?
And it wouldn't surprise me if these big food manufacturers, with all the money they make, they're lobbying to Congress saying, don't pass or write any legislation that could force us to stop putting, you know, what we want in these products. And that's, I think that's the reason no, you know, federal laws or even state laws have been passed, because of all the lobbying that our politicians are probably getting.
Oh man, we could go down a hell of a rabbit hole talking about that.
I know.
The lobbying. yeah, and the special interest groups and all that stuff. No, we can. That's a whole other, like, series of episodes, I think.
Yeah, I won't go into that anymore for this episode, but I just think it's very interesting. I do think, you know, I hope this was a good Conspiracy Corner episode for you all. I would love to do more of these in the future. Again, do I believe every conspiracy theory out there? Of course not. Some I think are just preposterous. But some of them, as little as they seem, like, oh, chicken nuggets have hen prostates in them. I'm like, that kind of makes sense, though. You know, they kind of just make you scratch your head and you think about it. And I thought it was just kind of fun and cool to talk about, because it does make you scratch your head. So I'd love to know you guys' thoughts, what your thoughts are, what you believe, if you think any of these are true. Or if there's any, you know, facts out there proving that these are not true, I'd love to hear them.
Oh, I'd love to hear them. And if you have any recommendations, or if there's something that you want to enlighten us with, send that in too. I'd love to see that stuff. You know, hit us up on Facebook at Disorder Law. The TikTok is Law and Disorder. What is Instagram? It's Law and Disorder as well, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you,
or you can just email us at disorderlaw@gmail.com.
Yeah, that too. Hit us up. I think that's going to wrap up episode 118.
Mm-hmm.
Conspiracy Corner with Caitlin.
And conspiracy corners start with K's because my name Caitlin starts with a K.
Oh, I thought we were going to change your name to start with a C. Okay. KKK. Oh, okay. That's no, it's just not conspiracy corner with Caitlin.
And I don't mean, I don't endorse the KKK. Don't put that in people's heads.
I know, that's okay? Why I said we're not going to call it, we're not going to call it KKK. We're going to call it conspiracy corner with Caitlin.
Thank you.
So that's going to wrap up episode 118. Let's thank the sponsors. Let's thank Wavespace Audio for the music. Young Ideas Dish. Hit them up for all of your Dish, Google product, and cellular needs. That's going to wrap us up. On behalf of myself and Miss Caitlin over here.
Hey.
We are Law and Disorder, and we will holler at you guys next time.
Bye.
Laters.